All right, we're going to get started tonight. It's wonderful to see you here, and we're going to continue to follow the call of Christ that he gave us at the end of John 17, which was to live lives that glorify his Father here on earth by how we live our everyday lives. And we're attempting to follow that call of Christ by looking at the earliest New Testament book, if you recall, written by one of the half-brothers of Jesus and the pastor of the Jerusalem church, a man named James. James writes this letter, if you recall, to his congregation who's been scattered all over the place due to persecution. And since they can't all meet together regularly like they once did, James sends his pastoral ministry after them by means of this letter. And in this letter, James appeals to his burdened people to live by faith, to look up beyond their trials and into the face of a sovereign God who's working all things together for their good and for his glory. And he calls on them to endure. And as we'll see tonight, James motivates those believers under his care to endure by faith the trials that have come upon them by looking forward to the reward, by looking forward to the reward of enduring faith. Now, James has already mentioned back in verse 4, if you remember, one of the rewards that enduring faith brings, and that is a growing integrity to your life and to your faith. James wrote, "Let steadfastness, let that endurance under trials have its full effect. Why? So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." One reward of endurance is a faith that's being perfected, a faith that's growing in its integrity. And this is a reward that we can enjoy right now. As we endure and as we remain steadfast under the trials and the hardships and the obstacles that God sends our ways providentially, as we cling to Christ and his promises by faith, we can enjoy the process of seeing our confessions become convictions. But there's another reward for endurance that you and I can look forward to while remaining steadfast under trials, and that's not only a faith of growing integrity, but one day a crown of eternal life. In other words, James will teach us tonight that genuine faith, living faith, enduring faith holds both current and coming rewards. It yields benefits not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so that's what we're going to see in our verse before us tonight in James 1, verse 12. Where James writes very simply, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." Wonderful passage, very simple, and a wonderful devotional we have ahead of us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for its truth. And Father, we thank you for the blessing and the reward that is pictured here in James 1, verse 12. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand this verse so that this reward would be something that we think about every day. It is so easy to meditate on our problems and on our trials. And we often neglect meditating on the eternal truths and realities and rewards that are to come. And so, Father, I pray that you would just work in us by your Spirit to give us eyes of faith to see this reward and to desire it, even as we encounter obstacles and hardships of many kinds. Help us, Father, to trust in you and to look to you in all circumstances that we might experience the blessings of those who endure. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a pretty straightforward and yet significant verse, and so we're just going to take this verse phrase by phrase. And James begins this verse by saying, here in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials." Now, James here is describing the spiritual state of a particular individual. And that individual is someone, as James puts it, who remains steadfast under trial. Now, we've already learned about those trials, if you recall, back in verse 2 of this chapter, where we are talked about as meeting trials of various kinds as believers. They come in all shapes and sizes. They can take on any type of trial. And according to verse 3, these diverse trials always function in our lives as testings of our faith. as a divine tool to forge our confessions into convictions. And so James here is describing someone of faith. He's describing a believer who has entered into one of those times of testing, who has entered into one of those periods of hardship, and who has decided, praise God, to count it all joy, just like James has commanded. In other words, James is describing someone here in verse 12 who has decided to obey the words of verses 2 through 4. This is someone who has decided to look at their worldly pressures from a divine perspective. And as verse 4 says, they have decided to patiently let steadfastness have its full effect. Now, that's wonderful to have someone who has entered into trials suddenly recognize, I know I need to count it all trials. I know I need to be steadfast in this trial. That's a wonderful starting place, but that's not the end. Doing this, being steadfast under trials, is not an easy thing to do. And that's why James describes this person as someone who remains steadfast under trials, who does more than just experience momentary hardships in life. That's everyone. That is everyone. But rather, the blessed man is someone who bears up under ongoing hardships with a steadfast, enduring, and tenacious faith. That is the blessed man. James says here that that man or woman or child who remains steadfast under a trial, that man is blessed. Now, what does it mean when James says that a believer who's exhibiting enduring faith is blessed? Well, some people have tried to say that that word blessed just means happy, but that's not really true. Makarios in the Greek means supremely blessed and fortunate, and only by extension can it mean on occasion being happy. In other words, happiness might be a result of being blessed, but it is not blessedness of in and of itself. We know this is the case because Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are those who what? Mourn. Who mourn. You can't be in an emotional state of mourning while also being in an emotional state of happiness at the same time. There must be a difference between blessedness and happiness. And so when the Bible is talking about being blessed, it's important to remember it's talking about an objective reality, not just a subjective emotion. It's talking about a blessedness that exists, whether you're feeling very blessed in that moment or not. And so when James says here that the man who remains steadfast under trials is blessed, he's talking about an objective fact. The man whose faith remains steadfast under trials is a blessed man. He is someone blessed by God. And you say, well, why? Why is that? Well, I think it's important before I go on to what James says, I think it's important to recognize he's blessed by God first and fundamentally because of his faith. How do you identify someone who has been blessed by God from above? The answer is they are someone whose faith remains steadfast under trials, right? That's how you identify their blessedness. It's by their supernatural faith. You see in them a faith that does not let go, a faith that endures in the midst of trials. And when you see that in someone, you recognize there's something different about their life, and it's not the answer is not found in them, it's found in God. When you find someone like that, that characteristic is not owed to their own spiritual strength. It is owed to the strength of their God. They are holding steadfastly onto God in the midst of trials because God is steadfastly holding onto them. It's exactly what 1 Peter 1 verse 5 says. The believers are those who are being guarded by God's power. How? Through faith. For salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we are those who are being guarded by God's power. We're being preserved unto glory. How? By his power. And how is the power of God manifested, the preserving power of God manifested in a believer's life? It is through faith. It's through faith. Faith is not ultimately our power holding on to God. Faith is ultimately God's power holding on to us. And how do you know who are those whom God has spiritually blessed and whom God is holding on to? Answer, they are the ones that are remaining supernaturally steadfast under trials. They have, as Revelation 1 verse 9 puts it, the patient endurance that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ, a true believer finds everything that he needs for life and godliness, including steadfast endurance. they're blessed with steadfast faith. And that's how James can say, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. They're blessed because of their faith. But second, the point that James is making here is that they're blessed because not only of their faith, but because of their future. Look at the end of verse 12. James writes, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Why? For when he, so when this steadfast, when this man of steadfast and enduring and saving faith, when he has stood or when he has passed the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Now, if you remember just a few verses earlier in verse 7, we were told that the doubter, so the one who doesn't have faith, must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. But here we see that the true believer, one who has been given supernatural faith from God, the one who endures in faith and who endures in prayer and who endures in dependency upon God's wisdom, the true believer receives literally everything from the Lord. He will be crowned one day with life, everlasting, divine life, the life of eternity. That is a glorious reward to look forward to, which we'll get to in a second. But first, before that crown of life is received, there is first the test that must be passed, as James says here, that must be stood. And what is that test? That test, to make it very quick, is all of life. And it's all of life's trials. This is the test of faith that is put in front of every man, woman, and child. It is life and all that comes with it. And how do we pass this test? How do we know that we are divinely blessed by God and are destined recipients of the crown of life? The answer is by enduring to the end, by remaining steadfast and faithful to God until we die. We know this is the case because the moment you pass the test, what do you receive? You receive the crown of life, and nobody gets the crown of life until you get to what? Glory. So the test is life itself and everything that comes with it. So the ultimate test of genuine, living, saving faith is not a moment. It's not one event. It's not one thing that you did, which is what most evangelicals think. I had this experience. I had this moment. I must be born again. The test of saving faith is lifelong. There are many people who hear the word of God and spring up in faith for a while only to fall away because it was no saving faith at all. All of life is one big test. And the only way you pass the test and show yourself to be a genuine, born-again child of God that is being preserved by Him is by remaining steadfast and faithful to the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ until you die. It's only those who persevere in faith to the end that receive the reward. This is a consistent testimony of Scripture. And that's why you hear things and you understand it so much more when you come to like Paul's writings at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 7 through 8. And he writes, if you remember, in exaltation. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I don't think that's Paul in that moment being, well, look at how awesome I am. Yes, right? I knew I had it in me. That's not what Paul's doing here. He's blown away in that moment at the end of life of how much God has blessed him. That in spite of everything that's happened to him in life, he is at the end of it all still believing. And he's giving glory to God for how he's been blessed. That blows Paul's mind and it thrills his soul because he knows, verse 8, that henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, he says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. See, because Paul, by God's grace, had endured to the end, he knew that there was something waiting for him that he recognized he did not deserve. It was a crown of righteousness waiting for him there. Well, James here in James 1, he's talking about another crown that's awaiting those who endure in faith, and that is a crown of life. James says that he will receive the crown of life when he passed the test. When we think of a crown, probably most of you tonight are thinking about some golden jewel studded headpiece that's on the brow of a king or a nobleman. But people in that culture would have been more likely to have thought of a laurel wreath that was given to victors at the moment of athletic competitions. These are the types of thinly woven bands that you often see on the heads of old Greek and Roman statues. That's what James is likely referring to here. It is a victory crown. And in fact, James uses this very word crown in 1 Corinthians 9:25 when he writes, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things, and they do this to receive a perishable wreath." That's the same word, but we an imperishable. That victor's wreath is probably the imagery that James has in mind here, and it's a beautiful picture. James is saying here that for those who are faithful to God over the long and difficult race of life, God will bestow on them as victors of the test the reward of eternal life. If it helps you to think of an actual physical crown that you receive, that's fine, but just know that the emphasis is not on an object, it's on life. If we run this race of faith with endurance to the end, God will crown us as victors with righteousness, and he'll crown us with life. Now, don't get me wrong, we all have life already in the Son through faith in Jesus Christ. John 5:24 makes that very clear. But to receive the crown of life means to receive the crowning fulfillment of that life at last. It means to enter at last into the glories of heaven and take hold of that which is truly life, eternal life in the presence of the eternal God. As Jesus promises in Revelation 2, verse 10, "Be faithful to death, and I will give you the crown of life." And as James says at the end of this verse, this crown of life is nothing more or less than what God has promised to those who love him. It's impossible to pin down exactly which promise James is talking about here, since Scripture is just bursting forth with all these promises from God that he will reward those who believe in an enduring and obeying way, life. But James is summarizing, I think, all of those commandments here. And he's motivating us, much like Pilgrim was at the beginning of Pilgrim's Progress, to close our ears to everything else in life and just be driven forward by this desire for life, life, eternal life. And so this is a glorious verse that has been handcrafted by the Spirit of God to get your eyes out of the mud and up towards the glories of heaven, and to encourage us to endure our trials faithfully so that we can receive the reward that God has promised. Count it all joy, because you will receive the crown of life if you faint not. So remain steadfast under trials. What a good word when we feel like giving up, to get our minds off the hardship and onto the reward that God has promised us. And I just have to finish with this again. We must endure. But when we do, we must remember that it's not by our own strength, and it's only by the Lord's. As James will say later in chapter 5, verse 11, he says, "Behold, we consider those who remain steadfast. We consider them strong." Is that what he says? "Oh, we consider those who remain steadfast capable." No. "We consider those who remain steadfast the super saints." No. He says, "Behold, we consider those who remain steadfast blessed." Blessed. See, Scripture teaches us that if we are faithful to the end, we will be crowned with incorruptible life, righteousness, and glory. That's awesome, right? And guess what we'll do with all those crowns that we'll receive one day? We'll cast them all before the feet of Jesus. Revelation 4, verse 10 says that we will cast our crowns before the throne. We'll be acknowledging in that day that our victory is really his all along. That we don't deserve any of this, and we're just blessed. We're blessed. Jesus is the one who keeps us from stumbling. He's the one who will present us faultless before his throne. And in that day when we stand crowned with eternal life, it will not be because of any of us. It will be because Christ lived in us both to will and do his good pleasure. And that'll be the only reason. And every promise that God gives to those who love him is only because he loved us first. He's the victor. And to the victor goes the spoils, and to him will belong our crown of victory forever and ever. That's a day to look forward to. Therefore, as Jesus says in Revelation 3, verse 11, hold fast to what you have, for behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Hallelujah. That's the reward for endurance. That's what we live for. Nothing here on earth. May God give us the grace to hold fast till that day.